You're listening to the Ringside Podcast.
Sitting at ringside.
The show that brings you all that is pro wrestling, news, interviews, and opinions.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
With Daniel Spencer.
The most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
Jeremy Wallman.
I'm the best in the world at what I do.
And Justin Kruger.
Your arms are just too short to box with God.
And now, let's ring the bell and start the show.
Welcome to the Ringside Podcast. I'm Daniel Spencer.
I'm Jeremy Wallman.
Every day, JK Day.
Huh? Okay. It's JK Day, I guess.
It's JK Day.
Every day, JK Day.
He is a little loud. I'll turn him down.
No, I feel like I'm loud, too. Do you feel like I'm loud?
Yeah, you're always loud.
I'm always perfect. Just
perfect? No, I said loud.
No, that's what you
you're
said.
You're not Kurt Hennig perfect. Over here.
Anyways,
I'm
guys.
I'm definitely not the son of Kurt
welcome
either.
Welcome to the first show of 2018, however you want to say it, 2018. You know,
I'm just glad we got out of 2017. It was not a good year overall.
Barry Sanders, Peyton Manning. You know, that's what John Cena did. He tweeted a Barry Sanders and Peyton Manning 2018. It was pretty funny. I'd laugh.
Well, let's see. Yeah, we're going to get to John Cena a little bit on my list. He's made the list.
Speaking of the list, by the time this airs right now, I don't even know the name of the show. The New Japan Pro Wrestling's
Wrestle Kingdom 12.
Thank you. I couldn't get it out. My Wrestle Kingdom 12, features.
We're probably the only people that know about that.
The only Chris the Alpha Jericho against Kenny Omega.
Kenny the Cleaner Omega.
The Cleaner, yeah, whatever.
Learn it in, man.
Speaking of Jericho, he's actually jumped ship. He's no longer on Podcast One, he's now on Westwood One. Which is kind of shocking. And then also, did you see the tweet he made to Delta Airlines? It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Or Delta actually replies was actually funnier. But anyways, if you don't, go Google it. If you don't know what it is, we won't repeat it or do it here. So first show of 2018, and we figured why not do a review of 2017?
I'm really pumped about this because I think we're all going to have I would be shocked if with the exception of maybe – Wrestler of the Year or one of the other ones. I think we're going to have a lot of variance of opinions here, and I'm looking forward to that for once instead of y'all always agreeing with me.
Well, yeah, right.
Or stealing one each other's, probably.
Well, I have a feeling that
you will.
This is okay if we have the same one as our opinion, and we probably can pick more of the same. But what I think is interesting, though, about it is the fact that when I was going through it, I thought what I was picking, we probably would all they're probably going to pick this too. They probably picked this too. So I think it's
hopefully
kind of
you stuck to your main guns on them though, and didn't just not pick it because you thought we were going to pick it.
Oh no! I do have a couple
second in case we pick one. You've got
I can't go. I'm going back and forth. So okay. So after we reveal it, if number two hasn't been said, I'll go back and say it so I don't steal or something like that.
Real quick, I would be remiss if I did not say congratulations to Mike the Miz Mizanin, the 2017. Rolling Stone Wrestler of the Year.
Absolutely.
Congratulations,
yeah.
Mike.
So we'll get to that. And then also, when we're talking about 2017 review, now, believe it or not, I thought 2017 was a good year for me. Mm-hmm. I know you said you didn't, but I mean, we also launched the podcast in 2017. So okay. That was a great.
It was a bad year for pro wrestling. It was a great year for business at Ringside Podcast.
Well, yeah, it was a great year personally for me.
Yeah, you finally got a date with a girl.
Oh,
that was
gosh.
Pretty cool.
I've had plenty of those. All right, so.
Plenty of what?
Anyways. All right. So let's get to our – by the way, thank our sponsor, Collar and Elbow. Go to collarandelbowbrand.com and buy anything on the market there. Vito's got a shirt. Our boy Vito, of course, our Our pal Kenny Bowen's also got one there. I know they two don't like each other. So why don't you go support which one you like by buying one of those shirts. But use promo code Ringside, all capital letters. Save 10% and you help the Ringside podcast out. You can also find other stuff. Al Snow was on Steve Austin's podcast this week and he's plugging the stuff up and it's pretty cool. And he's talking about other wrestlers and podcasts involved. That's sponsorship. Of course, he didn't name drop us. It would have been cool. But he did kind of by him saying that, he mentioned us. I'm going to say he mentioned us.
Well, I mean, it's pretty cool to see the amount of stuff that y'all are buying on Collar and Elbow and supporting Ringside Podcast. We really do appreciate that.
Appreciate all the money. He goes and helps support Ringside. So a little kickback they do for us. Like I said, you save 10% using the promo code Ringside, and we appreciate that. And okay, guys, so I know we've been kind of, with the holidays, we've been kind of doing, we're going to be back to our routine in 2018, starting now, so now we'll get our weekly shows again, but we had a kind of little 2-3 week breaks between shows, kind of just, we wanted to enjoy the holiday season, that's absolutely what it's all about. Holidays to me, I know Vince Russo had a thing about this on Twitter. He believes I'm highly against WWE doing a show on Christmas. He says, "Why I believe that people should be off on Christmas and enjoy the holiday." I kind of do too. I mean, I did stop at a gas station. I think no, I didn't actually.
You probably did.
Actually, I did. Got a Polar Pop, but
but they wrestle at 8 o'clock. They've had plenty of time to spend time with their families and hang out and stuff.
I don't think you should have any businesses open on Christmas Day. It's what it used to be back in the day. Everything's closed. You know,
dude, I was so thirsty on Christmas morning. I had to go out and get me something to drink as well. So
you know, it is what it is. So, you know, all I know is that I. But
real quick before you go forward, the Christmas Day Raws are normally the worst Raws of the year, and this one was pretty good. And I think it was because it was live. Not pretty good for Christmas Day Raw standards.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Not overall.
It was better than any normal Christmas
episode. Because it was live. That's just like the ones they do over in England. They suck because the
ending was terrible. Why put the titles on those guys? We'll get to that later. All right, well, maybe. I don't know. We'll maybe have to do a segment where we
talk. I really hope not.
Well, anyways, what I was going to say was, I believe, and I think we all do at Ringside Pocket. Well, I thought Jeremy believed it, but apparently doesn't, that we should enjoy the holiday season, take
holidays.
Our time off, and just, you know, and let things go. And hey, there's plenty of wrestling podcasts out there, and we got a lot more hits this being that we're, I guess, less was more. So thank you for listening. Appreciate that. All right. So
yeah, thanks, Dad, for clicking on the show
like
24 hours a day,
50 million times.
All right. Really appreciate that.
So, all right, let's go over the categories we're going to go over. We're not going to tell them yet. We're just going to go over all the categories.
Okay.
So I have them listed this way, and I don't, they're in no particular order, but this is the way I have them wrote down. Match of the year, the best and worst storyline, wrestler of the year, need less or need more of 2018, basically. Best woman wrestler, which could be a double standard, depending on if you wrestler of the year was a woman already. Right. Best pay-per-view of the year, who you would draft to the WWE in 2018, the breakout star of 2017, worst and best JK gimmick, yes, we even threw a JK gimmick in there of the show, and the most underrated wrestler this year.
Should we do a most overrated?
Or 2017.
I know we didn't prep for most overrated, but should we? Could we?
If we're doing an underrated, we might as well do an over.
Yeah, all right,
if we're doing an under, you got to do an over.
See, we guys, our planning for this episode was impeccable.
And I already know who my over is right now.
It's probably all the same.
You said wrestler of the year, and I knew it was a category, but I didn't write it. But, I mean,
no,
like you said earlier, I feel like we'll have a consensus on that. But I haven't seen or heard any of yours, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we're going
to
probably.
No peeking either, because you like to steal stuff.
No, there's no. I mean, I have a feeling you're going to say some of mine, and I don't care. We'll just elaborate
about
it.
That's his gimmick.
This is the cleaner.
He's the cleaner.
Maybe you're giving away his worst gimmick, though. All right, so anyways.
No, I really didn't.
What do you want to start with? Match of the year?
Sure.
Okay. All right, Jeremy, we'll go first. We'll just all talk, and like I said, if we're the same, it's fine. Go ahead.
So, and what I did differently is I tried to, for most of them, pick a mainstream and a non-WWE match. So, for my WWE match of the year, I've got the Usos versus the New Day at Hell in the Cell.
That was a good match.
I thought it was a, no pun intended, a hell of a match. It was very innovative. It kept your attention. It had everything. And this was one of the matches that we rated during the year as one of our 5-star matches. And as far as non-mainstream, Will Ospreay versus Ricochet was without a doubt. It blew everybody else away.
Okay.
In my opinion.
You going to go Lucha Underground on this one?
Actually, no.
Okay.
Although I will say my honorable mention was in Aztec Warfare 3, which, of course, Jeremy hasn't seen it, so...
Just go ahead. I've got my fingers in my ears, legit.
It is the Hell of War match that I mentioned a while back.
Okay.
My match of the year, though, is in NXT. And it happened back in May. It was Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne.
That was phenomenal.
Probably
was
the best trilogy of matches we had this year. And think about it, guys. I mean, Tyler Bate's 20 years old. Pete Dunne's 24. If they're putting on this caliber of matches this early, who knows what they'll be when they actually hit their athletic prime.
But very possible, yeah. I mean, some of the best matches of CM Punk and Daniel Bryan's career was not even really in the WWE. It was before that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely.
Did you know about them before they got to the WWE? Wasn't sure.
I knew Phil when he lived here.
All right. Oh, my God. He knew Phil.
Anyways, so, my match of the year, I'm going to go mainstream. And I'm going to go... I think it set the bar for the year, and the only thing came close to it is my honorable mention, and I'll bring it up, is John Cena versus AJ Styles.
Man, I could have bet my home that it was going to be John Cena versus insert any match of the year. That was
just for the record, guys, our embargo on our one John Cena reference is lifted for this episode.
All right, so anyways, yeah, it was a great match.
Conversely, it was AJ Styles' worst match of the year. It was John Cena's best match, and AJ's worst.
Come on, man! Because he lost the title. Because he lost the title.
No, because it wasn't.
Go back and rewatch it. Just watch that match.
It's burned into my brain. But go ahead. Okay.
My honorable mention though was AJ and Brock. Once again, AJ trumps all of it. No pun intended. Phenomenal.
Some foreshadowing here. I see.
We'll see.
AJ is phenomenal. He could wrestle a paper bag, and it would be a 5-star match.
He can carry me to a 3.5-star match.
Never mind. He could wrestle a paper bag and have a 5-star match.
He could probably wrestle a blow-up doll and have a better match than the other guy did, too.
JK?
What?
I'm talking about the cleaner.
Oh,
I guarantee he would have a better match with a blow-up doll than the cleaner did.
I thought.
Be careful. Yeah. There actually is a blow-up doll that has wrestled matches.
I know. That's the one the cleaner fought. Kenny Omega.
Don't make fun of Yoshihiko like that.
All right.
He knew the name. I love it.
Well, yeah, Yoshihiko is the most devastating finisher ever, the Infinite Canadian Destroyer.
All right, anyways. That was my match of the year. I thought it was a great match. I thought it set up the bar. And I honestly believe that, I mean, I love your matches you mentioned. Yes, they were great matches. Don't get me wrong. But I think that one just kind of... You had one of the two most icons over the last 15 years in two different industries coming together again, having a great pay-per-view match for the title. It was great. And John Cena also became the 16-time World Heavyweight Champion and the time Ric Flair. And I also got a piece of the canvas from that because when I ordered my WWE 2K18, I got a piece of that canvas. So I actually got the piece of the mat they wrestled on. So it's a little special to me, too. I'm just totally joking about being special. But anyways. next up... want to go with worst?
Yeah,
we'll do worst storyline, and we'll do best. So right. Worst storyline.
Somebody else, or you want me to go first every time?
No, JK goes first this time. We'll do that rotation.
Okay.
The sad thing is, the worst storyline, in my opinion, is going on right now, and it's the Jason Jordan being the son of Kurt Angle.
Okay.
It's not that Jason Jordan's a bad worker. In fact, I think I'd go as far as say he's probably one of the best on the Raw roster. It's just the story's flat. Nobody's really receiving Jason Jordan the way that the writers expected them to. And the fact that he's now tag team champions with Seth Rollins just makes it feel kind of forced.
I agree, because that storyline is hard to do today's age. Like, it was funnier, or it was back when the whole Vince McMahon thing, you still had this whole Kennedy thing, and then, of course, they brought in Hornswoggle, made it even funnier or whatever. But everyone knows that Jason Jordan's not Kurt Angle's son.
Well, that's because then you couldn't just hop on Google and find anything out. Now you can Google anything, anywhere, anytime, any place.
And, it shouldn't be. And they're going to make Kurt Angle look like an idiot when they reveal he's not, because he'll be like, what? All you do is Google it, buddy.
How did you not know?
I mean, it's kind of like Undertaker and Kane. With the curtains pulled back, people can go on Google and be like, oh, this Kane guy is actually running for mayor of Knoxville. Oh, wait, he's not actually Undertaker's brother.
Wait, what?
Did I ruin the business for you?
Well, it's Edge and Christian were brothers up until one, and all of a sudden they became best friends and they dropped the brother thing. So, I mean, it is what it is on that. You agree with it, that you're the same one?
No.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. What's yours?
All right. Mine was the end zone cast attack. I absolutely hated that. I could see that coming from Stevie Wonder saw that one happening. That was my mainstream one. And then there's one currently going on now in OVW where the good old Reverend Stu is now, he's the demonic devil worshiper that has foam shooting out his mouth every time he gets in the ring, and he's possessed. It's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire
life. I haven't watched OVW in about a month. So.
Well, it's off. It's off. This has been going on for about 2 months.
That's a lot to take in, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It even trumps end zone cast as far as I'm concerned. It's not very good.
Mine, once again, was at the beginning of the year, and to me it was the most flattest, worst storyline ever, and it really had no – and even the outcome of it, the match, was even worse.
Oh, when Cena moved from Raw to SmackDown?
No.
Okay.
It was the Bray Wyatt family, Randy Orton.
The House of Horrors?
Well, everything that, from that to the whole, that. The whole
it wasn't
feud.
Good.
It was terrible.
It wasn't good.
That feud pretty much buried Bray Wyatt as a main event character.
And I love Bray Wyatt.
And by the way, my honorable mention was yours, the angle reveal. It was the whole angle reveal thing, not only the fact that's going on. But
I did find this interesting. I went on to Reddit to vote for their best and worst matches of the year, and Randy Orton had three of them on there.
On the worst or best?
On the worst.
But it's funny, but he's probably one of the best workers out there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It's just...
Who's his opponent,
I feel sorry for him. He got put in such crap feuds all year.
Bray Wyatt. I mean, the only person that's going to have a decent feud with Bray Wyatt is somebody right now.
Not just Bray Wyatt. I mean, the Punjabi prison match was hot garbage, too.
Oh, yeah, it was.
The lead-up... Going back to yours. The lead-up to the Jason Jordan Kurt Angle...
Oh, it was great!
Because I was sitting in Panama City Beach, Florida... when the reveal was made, and the day before, the rumors were that Dixie Carter had been in Stanford, and that people were assuming that he was going to reveal that he had been having an affair. Well, evidently,
with Stephanie or something like that,
or somebody. And then it was like, oh my God, this is exciting. Who would have ever thought Dixie and this and that? And then it just ended up being a big old popcorn fart, as far as I was concerned.
Well, she was in Stanford, but she was doing that whole other thing with Kurt Angle. Yeah,
so I bet she was.
That's what you call getting worked.
All right, so best gimmick storyline, I actually don't have one. Holy cow.
Yeah, this is what we were talking about last week. I did scrape one up, but I don't even have I had to think and think and think for hours for something throughout the year that just, it wasn't even a gimmick or a storyline. It was a swerve that occurred.
Oh, yes.
You already know what I'm going to say.
Go ahead.
The Kevin Owens,
Shane,
Sammy thing.
That's
what I come up with.
Yeah,
I knew somebody had pulled him off, but you didn't know who. I was kind of let down when I found out it was Sammy, but that was the best part. You never would have assumed it would be Sammy, but I couldn't think of nothing else. That's why I said leading into the show, this is for me, it was a down year in wrestling. I hope 2018 is a lot better. It looks like it's going to be a lot better.
Yeah.
One could also argue that the women's Money in the Bank concept was a great point of last year.
Yeah.
But
you know, one of my other ones too was the finish of the Kevin Owens Chris Jericho thing. I mean, the friendship
was pretty cool.
Was pretty cool and how they did all that. And the WrestleMania match wasn't that great, but I mean, had a couple other matches and stuff that ended pretty well. So I'm gonna have to throw that out there as probably one of the best storylines as well.
I thought you were gonna say the best storyline was John Cena going back from SmackDown to Raw.
Speaking of Jericho, I actually went outside of WWE for this one.
Okay.
The revelation that Chris Jericho challenged Kenny Omega
to
a match at Wrestle Kingdom 12.
That was pretty good.
For one, we didn't expect Jericho to work outside of WWE
And he said for years he'll never do it. So.
Let alone against Kenny Omega, who's probably the top name in the independent scene right now. And his announcement to challenge Omega brought so many eyes to New Japan and might make them a viable wrestling market here in America.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think there'll ever be another WCW.
No,
there'll never be another viable.
Well, because no one's going to have the money to do it. No one can compete with Reigns. You're going to need billionaires to come together, and or a billionaire just to say, I want to go toe to toe with Vince, but no billionaire is going to do it. They realize they're going to. You know how much money Ted Turner lost?
Yeah.
In the beginning. Now he started earning money, but then he ended up selling on off and then lost everything again.
The thing is that a lot of American wrestling fans don't have the. Like we've talked before, we like the slow build stuff. And we're in a microwave society. If a payoff's not achieved in 3 weeks, people lose interest in it. And that's been shown in their booking this last year. They're trying to...
Where I disagree with you, I mean, I agree with you as far as yes, but where I disagree with you, I think if they did do the slow build-up, they would find out more people enjoy it.
Right. No. That's what I'm saying. Okay, I think that we've said this before also. The pay-per-views need to be cut down. They need to be more meaningful. We don't need a Tuesday in Texas every other week. Which, by the way, is discontinued. We never have to say that again. Well, we don't have to say that in 2018 anyway. Great balls of – I'm not saying it. But anyway, it's just they're never going to give New Japan the patience of becoming a number two just because – it's just like you said. There's nobody going to have that money. Nobody's going to have the patience to give it time. They've tried. They tried to give TNA time,
and they're not going to get someone as ballsy as Eric Bischoff either to go want to do stuff because they're going to get all these old people that's ran organizations before. It, just like WCW beginning, we're failing. No one's going to have the guts to say, you know what? Let's just give it to this little TV producer guy. That's you know, and boom, let's let him run the table because that's why WCW succeeded when it did. Because it was Eric Bischoff.
Well, even with Lucha Underground, man, it busted on the scene, and every wrestling fan that I know, except for you, no, but you've told me you didn't really watch it.
I didn't really care.
Oh my god, it was amazing. It was in my mind and a lot of people's minds.
I didn't like the women and man wrestling each other is what threw me off.
But they didn't do that a whole lot. That happened like once every 3 months. It wasn't a very...
I thought every episode in the first season had it.
No. But to me and a lot of people, it surpassed TNA as far as quality. They were bringing in people from everywhere. And then it was almost like they stymied themselves. They started putting the episodes in our market. They started putting it on a delay. Then you couldn't get them for a whole year. Then Netflix grabbed it. And then now you still... I've still not seen season 3.
Is TNA still on TV?
Yeah, it is.
They still have a monthly, like a weekly show they're doing?
Yeah, TNA is like wrestling's version of the cockroach. It will survive nuclear
Johnny
winter.
Johnny Impact still on the show?
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. It's... Okay. I'm the one viewer from Louisville that, if y'all are listening, it's me.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go on to the next segment here. We've been on that one for a while. Let's skip over Wrestler of the Year. Let's come back to that. Let's go to Best Pay-Per-View of the Year.
Well, you go.
No, it's actually my turn to go first. No. Actually, I just went first.
You just went first.
Your turn to go first.
You called all the topics.
We're going on this. Yeah, your turn to go first.
My best pay-per-view of the year was Hell in a Cell. I think that was the one. Now, of course, I don't have the.
That's the one. That's the Kevin Owens and the.
So that was the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. That was the New Day Usos. And there was one more match that was just really, really good. Who did AJ fight?
I don't think AJ was. Oh, AJ was. Baron Corbin? It was a triple threat. Baron Corbin and Ty Dillinger, wasn't it? On the triple threat for the title?
I think so.
Barry Corbin won.
I really should have wrote that down. I just remember that was the one pay-per-view all year that I had multiple 5-star matches on the shot sheet, and I don't have that shot sheet with me. I apologize, but that was the one.
I've got a tie here.
Okay. I kind of do too, actually.
Yeah, my first one is Aztec Warfare 3.
Okay.
For one of the craziest, insane, bloody matches you'll ever see in the very first episode of it, The Hell of War. There's a lot of other ones on there. There's a women's match that's very good. I'm trying not to like go into detail because, again, Jeremy hasn't seen it yet somehow.
He's ignoring you, though.
Yeah. And I think the title match had very high stakes in it, but it was very well executed. And there's a neat little tidbit at the very end I think most fans will enjoy. My other nominee is NXT Brooklyn 3. Which is kind of off the radar, but Gargano versus Almas was a sensational match. Also loved Asuka versus Ember Moon, and we got the debut, finally, of Red Dragon and Adam Cole.
Yeah.
Which was very one. Very cool for a lot of people that have followed them for a long time.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, that's definitely an honorable mention for me.
Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler were also on that card. Okay, yeah. So.
I'm going to go with Great Balls of Fire. Because if you remember correctly, we actually thought that was a great pay-per-view. We all graded it very high. We didn't like the thing.
We did.
We all graded it very high. And it was a great pay-per-view overall. I didn't grade it very high. Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. Go back and listen to the show.
Back
and listen to the
show. It's titled Great Balls of Fire.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you bet you wouldn't.
We graded that Sunday in Texas very, very highly.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Great balls have never been on fire. I'm a one-woman man, so.
Anyways.
He's going to edit that out anyway.
That's a little too much.
That's
what she said.
The other
it never stops.
I actually did like Survivor Series.
Yeah, it was. That was a good one.
We thought it was going to be terrible. It was like, wow. So, but Great Balls of Fire outruled it. It had a little more.
Survivor Series was great. We thought it was going to be terrible because we thought John Cena was going to be a special guest referee in that match, and thankfully he got destroyed pretty quickly in the 5-on-5 match.
All right, so... let's see here. Okay, 2018's coming up, or actually we're in 2018 coming up. 2018's here, and what about we've had a lot of something in 2017 or a lot or less of. So what would you say, JK, you go first, we need less of in 2017 or 2018?
We need to stop with the Riot Squad and the Absolution factions. Just end those factions as soon as we can, please.
Okay.
It's not a disservice to either of the ladies, but they all deserve to be better on their own.
Okay.
I don't hate that. Okay. I would eliminate at least one of them.
So,
the Riot Squad.
Less of that. I say less of, you probably agree, 205 Live.
I agree.
Less of 205 Live, the show. And maybe you can probably keep them on Raw one segment. That's okay. It's a 3-hour show. But don't get rid of the show. And I think they're actually getting rid of the show, it looks like. All right, so less than 205 Live. Jeremy?
I think you know one of them off top. But Baron Corbin, I think we need to see less of Baron Corbin. He does the best thing about him is his theme music. It's pretty cool. But he just – I don't know what it is. He's just missing something. Probably the same. He's missing the same thing for me that Bray Wyatt misses for you. Probably, mm-hmm. There's just no captivity for me. At least Bray, he intrigues me with his words. There's nothing about Baron that his finishing move. I love his finishing move. That's it. There's really. And then if I could pay $1 million, I would pay $1 billion. I would pay WWE to never have to see any more of John Cena ever again.
Oh, I think that's lost. Your ROI is not going to get very high on that right. one.
So another thing, too, is honorable mention. I think we all agree this. Less pay-per-views?
Yes. Yeah. I mentioned that a few seconds ago. I agree.
Less pay-per-views. All right. So now
real quick. How many would you do? I think I'd go down to 8.
I agree. 8's a fine number.
The 4 big ones, and then give Raw 2 exclusive, SmackDown 2 exclusive.
Yeah, but I would say I would give it... 10, 2 more of that because you had to have NXT. You'd give it
10.
You got to have NXT.
10. 10. Well, give them 2. That's fine.
Okay.
Give NXT 2 exclusive, SmackDown 2 exclusive, Raw 2 exclusive, and then the big 4.
All right. I can handle that. All right. So now more of in 2018. We'll just keep the rotation. Okay. More of in 2018.
I want to see more of Samoa Joe. Okay. I want to see.
So you want to see Samoa of Samoa Joe?
Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe. He went first last time, by the way, but we'll let him go again.
I said we're going to keep the rotation on this. It's kind of the same topic, really. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, I want to see more of Samoa Joe. I want to see him getting more storylines, especially since he is now a great talker. I almost said the P word. And honestly.
Is a great what?
He's a great talker. He is a great orator.
That was, by the way, that was our host snorting on the microphone.
Funny. It was that funny. I could have edited out. Thank you very much.
Let's hope Samoa Joe becomes Universal Champion in 2018. I'm ready to begin the campaign.
I don't hate it, Daniel.
It's better than some. At least he'll be on the show every week. You know what? Mine's a wrestling topic, but it's off of the wrestling show. I want to see more of the 24 shows and 365 on the WWE Network.
The original content.
The original content. I want to see more of that stuff.
You want to see Samoa of the original content?
Samoa, the original. No, nah, but I love the way they did less 24s this year than they did last year. I only did three. Baylor. Finn Balor. Goldberg, and Kurt Angle.
No, they did the WrestleMania one, and then they did the women's.
What WrestleMania one? The women's one was last year. The Women's Revolution was in 2016. I'm pretty sure.
Can we get our statistician to look this up? I'm pretty sure there was another. I believe there were five because they do the WrestleMania one every year.
I don't remember them doing the WrestleMania one this year, but I mean, you could be right. But they did the 365 was really cool. They only did one of those, and I'm sure they've been filming other people. They followed. Yeah,
didn't they say AJ's is coming out next?
Oh, I didn't hear them say anybody's is coming out next.
Oh yeah, it was at the end of the.
AJ's would be phenomenal. That was the P word I was intending to use.
Oh, okay, I got you. That's the.
That could have took us to an X-rated show in a heartbeat.
Well, no, I'm not going to risk taking ringside off the air.
Thank you. I'm shocked it's still on the air as it is.
That was actually one of my New Year's resolutions.
To stop?
To keep ringside on the air.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say to stop cursing.
Because I know I'm an X-rated orator over here.
Okay, so Jeremy was right. See, I'm admitting when I'm wrong. He was five this year. It was WrestleMania in Dallas, WrestleMania Monday.
Okay, Monday and WrestleMania.
Finn Balor, Kurt Angle, and then Goldberg.
But it was still, I think what you meant was there were less wrestler-specific.
Yeah, last year they had one, two, three. They had like seven last year.
Okay.
So they had more, and then, of course, this 365 thing has only been one, and that was really good, and hopefully we see like three or four of those.
Yeah, AJ's is coming up next, but they've not announced when, as far as I know, but they have announced AJ's is the next one.
Okay, that's cool. All right, so you're up.
My Samoa of, I want to see some more Johnny Gargano. I think he's a tremendous worker. I think that everything he touches is gold. I think he's the, I think in 10 years he'll be the AJ Styles running the place, the John Cena for Daniels.
He's Miller time.
That is a Cherry Coke Zero and not a Miller.
Plus it's not Saturday.
Right. And then I would like to also see some more of John Cena. No, that's not who I was going to say. The Miz. We have to see more Miz. Miz is must-see TV. He is a must-see champion. And there is nobody. People gave this kid so much crap when he first come in, and he has changed everybody's mind, and he has done everything that he can do to make the WWE an A-list event, and I want to see. The Rolling Stone already recognized it. He was their Wrestler of the Year. To my knowledge, he's not even been the WWE champion this year, has he?
No, he's not.
Intercontinental. And
it's been 6 years.
He was U.S. at the beginning, I thought.
Right.
Actually, seven now that we're in a new year.
Maybe it's been seven calendar years since The Miz was a world champion of any kind.
He lost it to John Cena.
He buries people. He's a dream killer. But The Miz is awesome. And
John Cena books everything. Yeah, he tells what Vince tells him to do once again. All right, anyways. All right. I get your point.
Miz is
you're on.
Awesome.
Talk about Miz.
You do that pretty well.
Pull that out of your mouth. All right, so
you did that pretty well.
Let's go. Let's kind of do this. Who is somebody outside of the WWE that you would draft to the WWE right now? You would bring over to the WWE. We all probably gonna have the same answer.
Well, then why don't y'all go first? Because
it's my turn to go first.
Okay, so then go first.
I got two. But I'm going to go with somebody that I think is better than this than the person there, but somebody else is going to say.
Okay.
And they used to be at WWE years ago, but WWE needs them back. Cody Rhodes.
I have no interest in seeing Cody back.
That's Cody. Now, I don't want Stardust. I want Cody Rhodes. He would kill it.
Don't you remember probably about, and again, go back and check this out in the archives, but I told you that I thought Cody Rhodes was going to transform wrestling as we know it. Do you remember me saying that? That he was going to be a game changer, that he was going to have the same effect in the wrestling world in the next 12 months. And I can admit when I'm wrong. I believe I was wrong here to an extent that Hulk Hogan had when he initially busted on the scene and took Stanford all the way to the top back in the 80s. And he did do some good stuff. He was wrestling in like four or five promotions at once. His character is over. He's just like, it's just not translate into it. So I really have no interest. I just watched him lose the Ring of Honor World Championship to Dalton Castle at Supercard of Honor or whatever it was called. They changed. And it wasn't a fantastic match. So I do respect that, though.
All right.
JK? Go ahead.
Now, you're next.
I know, but I want to save mine. Because I have a feeling his is going to be mine.
No, it won't. It won't. Prince My Puma? Choice.
Prince Puma?
Well, I have a feeling it's actually going to happen, so I'm going to not say him just because I feel like it will happen. Okay. I'm going to say Jay Lethal.
Okay, I would love to see Jay Lethal.
The greatest first-generation wrestler on planet Earth.
He's older than Bobby Roode. So
I would love to see Jay Lethal.
Lethal's actually 32.
I'm just making a joke.
He doesn't
watch. Don't insult Black Machismo like that.
He doesn't watch anything outside of Raw and SmackDown, so don't worry about it.
And Jay Lethal is incredible.
He is. He really is.
He's come a long way from being, the Macho Man parody he was in TNA. And I'm a bigger fan the more I watch of him.
Which, by the way, they're back to TNA again. They went to Global Force, and now they're back to TNA.
I give zero Fs about that, unfortunately.
They're back as TNA again?
Yeah, they're back as TNA again. So I've actually got three on my list.
Okay.
We've talked about one of them. Kenny Omega. I know he's a little bit on the seasoned side, but I believe that he could come in. And I don't see him being like a world champion in WWE, so that's probably why he won't be there. But I can see him having some great matches with AJ, with Dolph. Maybe I should have had that under worst storylines of the year. For Dolph to win the U.S. title, then drop it just so they can repackage him? That's stupid. Anyway, Rey Mysterio. I'd like to see him have one last run before he hangs it up. And then Ethan Carter.
EC3.
Formerly known as Derek Bateman in the WWE. He's like the one guy that got away and made himself into a from the NXT ranks anyway. Got away, become elite. Not one sweet elite, but elite. And I'd love to see him back. I don't know what his gimmick would be. He couldn't be Derek Bateman again. He couldn't be EC3. EM3, maybe?
But I would actually also, speaking of from that era, I would like to see Eli Drake.
That's what I was going to say.
I'm going to throw in
Eli Drake. He's a great performer. He's a great talker, too, which is what a lot of the guys who don't connect, Jason Jordan, he don't connect with me because he couldn't talk his way out of a phone bill.
I'm going to add a women's wrestler to this.
Get it.
Toni Storm.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like she's going to be the next big women's star eventually.
There were a lot of those wrestlers in the Mae Young Classic. Jazzy Gabbert.
Who's the chick that's a dating?
The chick.
Zack Ryder. She's on Impact.
Allie?
No, is it the girl that used to be on Tough Enough? Is that who you're talking about?
No, I don't think so.
No, I know what you're talking about, too, and I can't remember who it is.
Yeah, just go to Zack Ryder's Twitter, and you can see who she is. But
okay, well, then you carry the show while I look it up. How about that? That'd be a good change.
Well, I mean, but she would actually be good in WWE, I think, too, as well.
I feel like Allie would be, too.
We could be talking about the same person, though. I don't know if that's her name or not.
I thought he was dating the chick from Tough, the Laurel Van Ness girl that was on Tough.
Chelsea Green is her.
That's her.
Oh, okay, yeah, she was on Tough Enough.
Yeah, she started in WWE Tough Enough. She was on the same season of Tough Enough the Absolutes and Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville was in.
Huh, I don't remember that. I mean, I probably would. I mean, I just don't remember. She didn't stand out to me, I guess.
No, dude, she was the best wrestler on the show, and she constantly was getting passed over because she didn't have the looks.
She definitely does now.
She does now. Oh, yeah, she does now. And she actually won. I don't know. Since nobody watches the show, this isn't going to really be a spoiler, but on the last set of Impact tapings, she won the Impact's Knockout Championship.
Mm-hmm.
And then asked for her vacated it immediately after, and asked for her release. So she may be coming to WWE.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I mean, she's got connections there.
But like I said, a lot of those girls in I know Shayna Baszler's in NXT now, but Jazzy Gabbert, the German girl, she was phenomenal. Mercedes Martinez, Toni Storm,
Candice LeRae.
Yeah, I mean, it was just full of phenomenal women, phenomenal wrestlers.
That's another reason why I didn't say Tessa Blanchard, because I feel like she's going to be an NXT. Yeah. Oh, yeah, later.
She will, for sure.
All right, what's next, boss?
Okay, why don't we go ahead and go with the best wrestler of the year?
Okay, is it me?
It is you.
You're all right. This time. So I'm going to go AJ Styles. To me, other than Kevin Owens, this guy has had the best year wrestling-wise in the WWE, and KO comes in a very, very close second to me. And KO impresses me a little bit more because of his size and his athleticism is very deceptive, but AJ just... He did what nobody thought. Everybody thought when he was signed he was going to come in, probably win a U.S. title or Intercontinental title, and then just fall off the map. He was too old. He lost a step. He was never going to do it. And he did everything like that I think us in the room thought he could do. Talking about as far as like the haters, they thought, well, he's too old to come in and do anything. I won't say make an impact because that's just blasphemous. But I don't know anybody who's had the year he's had.
It's hard for me to see otherwise. I'm with you. I mean, AJ probably had the best year of anybody in the ring. I mean, I look at any pay-per-view match this year, and I can't tell you a bad one he had. He even had a good match with Jinder Mahal when he was holding the WWE Championship. And that brings to another point. I mean, he won the U.S. title, had a pretty healthy run with that, and a good feud with Kevin Owens. Actually became, I think, as a two-time champ, right?
He was the WWE champion at the beginning of 2017, and he was the champion at the end of 2017.
Which brings me to what I was mentioning with you two earlier this week. He's actually the third man in the post-Hogan era to start the year as WWE champion and finish it as such.
I didn't mean to steal your thunder there. I forgot we had talked about that.
That's what we call a segue in the business,
right,
brother.
Right. And just real quick, and I won't go into detail on this, my second place, radar.
No.
Oh, I'm going to wait for you first? Okay, I'll let you go first.
Wait for me. Okay, go ahead. Finish what you were going to say.
Yeah, like I said, AJ.
You were talking about the other two people.
The other two people that started and finished the year as WWE champ, John Cena and CM Punk.
But
should've known
CM Punk.
CM Punk is the only person among those three to do it wire to wire.
Yeah. Except for Hogan, but that was a post-Hogan era.
Right, so Hogan wouldn't be post-Hogan, slap nuts.
There's only two people that's done it, period, and it's CM Punk and Hulk Hogan.
There is Bruno.
Oh, Bruno,
Backlund.
Yeah.
Bob Backlund. Right.
That was when it was a WWF or whatever.
That's what makes Punk's reign more special, is right. Because he did week to week on house shows, on a 300-day schedule. And that's not to discredit Bruno or Bob or Hogan, but...
Will we ever see that again? Will we ever see a wire-to-wire champion?
Yeah, I think we will.
Like January 1st to December 31st? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we will. We will.
I think so, but probably not in the short term. I don't think even Roman Reigns will do that.
I don't think our society will allow it.
Asuka did it. Well, all right, so
NXT.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Charlotte did too. All right, so my wrestler of the year. Now, here's the thing. I do 100% agree with y'all with AJ Styles. This was hard because I wanted to choose AJ, but I knew one of you all would. So I had to go with someone else because I'm looking at overall their platform and what they did in 2017. And they made themselves over when they were told be the mid-card. No, they made themselves relevant, made themselves big because they're just that good. They put themselves on a platform on a show that was on TV. By the way, more of this show. On Talking Smack, they made that show important. They made it better than SmackDown. And then they say, you know what? Let's just put this guy on Raw because maybe he's that good. What does he do? He main events and steals the show on Raw. And when you have all the other people leaving the show, going to make movies, going injuries, this person is ending the show and getting butts in their seats and making it phenomenal. And I hate to use that word because it's not AJ I'm talking about. It's The Miz.
He was going to make movies, but still staying on the show while other people were leaving John Cena to make movies and host shows and not wrestle. He was doing it all at the same time.
And even the, even though he had the him and Cena had the angle with the and all that on SmackDown at the him revealing the intergender match, they made that match. I would have never cared for it if it wasn't between the Miz and Maurice, if they wasn't even involved in that, I mean, if it was just, or even if they announced what it was, and I remember I've seen it on paper. I remember we talked about going, that's the intergender match you're talking about doing. Are you kidding me? Like, we thought it was lame, and then all of a sudden we got excited about it because The Miz made it fun.
He really did. He didn't have much of a chance. A
top choice,
and I hate that. I know Sports Illustrated or whoever it was,
Rolling Stone,
same thing. Made him the wrestler of the year. But he really is, in my opinion. Now, AJ is because in the ring, overall, with wrestling and what he's done and what he's accomplished, totally get that.
You make a great point, though, because AJ was the wrestler of the year inside the ring. Just like you have guys that are great offensively or defensively, and you say, well, best all around.
Right.
The Miz was the best all around.
Yeah, he was.
Because AJ even had, if you've noticed, like on Talking Smack and other stuff like that, he can talk, but he stumbles sometimes, and he's not phenomenal.
AJ's learned on the mic. He's only been good in promos in the last few years, honestly. But The Miz was killing it. I mean, he was him and John, when they were doing their thing, half of the time, Miz was going on fly. And I think John was too, but Miz was going on fly on that stuff. And Talking Smack proves it right there. I mean, he would just bury Renee and bury Daniel Bryan. I know it's your boy. I'm sorry, JK, but he would bury him. And Daniel Bryan would like, what do I say back? And he would want to say something back, but he would go out of character. And then Miz stayed in character.
Did you, speaking of that, I'm glad you brought that up. Did you see they've got this new series, not on the network, but on WWE.com. And it's like five things. I forgot what it is, but they picture this maybe, and they show like a picture of an event, and their first guest was The Miz, and they showed a picture of the Talking Smack set where Daniel Bryan got up and left, and they were like, well, explain that picture. And like, that was legit. Like, Daniel Bryan legit got mad and walked off the set of what Mike said.
Yeah.
And they said that, he said himself, he was like, I didn't think it was going to touch him. That, you know, hit that nerve.
Right.
He's like, but once I seen it did, like, I just went ham. Like, there was no other choice. And he really didn't.
Right.
It was great.
So that's my wrestler of the year. And I know, like I said, it was hard because I wanted to pin AJ Styles there. But I was like, you know what? I love AJ. But personally, if I had to look at from January to December and overall, just I have to go with The Miz.
And then my second place one I was going to say earlier was Kenny Omega.
I thought it was going to be The Miz. That's why I was like, hold up. Okay.
No, I already praised him earlier. I'm not going to praise somebody more than once. That's your style.
All right. So anyways.
You like the novel.
Since we're doing Wrestler of the Year, we might as well spin it off. And I hate to put in a different category, but we do have a separate title for them. It's Best Women Wrestler of the Year in 2017. It's my turn to go first, isn't it?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with the little spunky Alexa Bliss.
Bliss? Alexa Bliss?
Alexa Bliss.
Is that Alexa Bliss's twin sister? Or alter ego? It's
Bliss. I don't know. Whatever.
She has definitely been one of the few people ever that has changed my mind. At the beginning of the year, I was not very high on her. Her character development has been impeccable. Her wrestling skills you have watched her grow up in the ring. Unlike you, I wasn't just attracted to her because of her looks. I developed that. I gotta throw a shot at you every once in a while. I don't look stupid normal. I'm with you on that. I picked the easy one here. I picked Asuka. Even last night when her and Alexa Bliss wrestled, that was one of the that would have been, had it been in 2017, that would have been my women's match of the year. But it wasn't. But that was a great match last night. And then my off the radar one was Ember Moon. I enjoy watching Ember Moon.
Great pick. I too have Asuka as best women's wrestler.
There you go.
Because she simply is. And some things just are the way they are because they're right.
Yeah.
She had the best match probably of the year, maybe even two of them, against Ember Moon at the Takeovers. And she had a pretty solid run so far on the main roster.
Who did she wrestle at NXT in the tables match?
Nikki Cross.
That was one of my top 10 matches of the year overall.
And she helped Nikki Cross get over after Asuka left for the main roster.
Yep, yep, yep.
And honestly, Asuka's probably positioning herself for an even bigger 2018.
Okay. All right. I mean, Asuka's great, but I just disagree with being the best. But it's, you know, she's anyways. All right. So, let's before we go into our breakout star and our most under and overrated, let's turn it to a little local, a little flavor, a little ringside podcast. Let's go into the best and worst JK gimmick of the year of 2017.
And for this one, I am abstaining myself and letting you two decide.
Yeah, it's just going to be between us. Now, honestly, my pick is his best and worst together. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Okay, that's mine. So I'm going to let you go because I went first last time. So you go ahead and you tell me which one. If we have the same one, I'm going to high five you. Just saying.
Well, I didn't have a best because I thought they all sucked. Worst JK gimmick of the year, all of them.
Oh. You're fired, Jeremy.
Oh, come on. He don't see what it is that he don't remember them. So
I'd be surprised if he did, honestly.
Mine was the worst and best. And by the way, we should put a poll out there and let the fans vote. But my worst and best JK gimmick was the Big Papa Pump. Because it literally was like the worst, but at the same time it was the best because it was so bad. I had to go with Big Papa Pump. It was great.
Yeah, I hate them all.
So. Plus it came out, I wasn't expecting him to do like verbatim, go word for word with that promo. It was like impressive.
You know how long I spent like trying to remember that promo?
Probably all day, or not weekend.
He's half the man that I am and has half the brain that he has, too.
No, that's
I know that Psycho said.
Yeah.
I am half the man that you are, and I have half the brains that you do.
That's my favorite JK gimmick of all time. And it just happened today.
Psycho Sid, another one, though.
You expect to get simpy from the people.
Hold on. Let's do it again. No, we're live, pal.
You expect to get simpy from the people. But you don't get simpy at all.
Hey, all right, we let him go on that. Okay,
you shouldn't have. You should have.
No, no, that's an old gimmick. My gimmick's it's JK Day. We're past that.
JK
now.
Day. All right,
every day JK Day.
So let's do breakout star of 2017. I think we're all going to say the exact same.
Unanimous decision.
I didn't even write it down because I have a feeling it's going to be the same.
All right, it's your turn to go first then.
I think one sound pretty much sums him
up.
Uh-huh.
Yep, that's it. The monster among men, Braun Strowman.
Sorry. Mine was Stephanie McMahon. I'm not really sure who y'all were talking about. No. You can argue with that if you tried.
Braun Strowman for sure. I mean, What a turnaround he's had in over a year in 2017. I mean, he should be the Universal Champion. I wish they would give it to him at the Royal Rumble, but
it may happen. It may.
I have a feeling we're going to see that title on Brock till he's ready to retire. And he's only signed
until April.
I can't wait.
He's only signed until the Monday after.
Oh, so good. We get to see Roman Reigns take the title from him in April, and then maybe Braun has a shot of taking it from him.
I don't know. Roman Reigns has the IC title right now.
Speaking of, did you hear Braun's promo yesterday on Heath Slater?
Yes.
Please, let that man have a mic and just say, catch these hands.
Catch these hands. That's great. All right. I figured we all have the same. Let's go to a most underrated wrestler of 2017. Or, no. Let's say most underrated. Let's go with most overrated first. We'll come back to underrated because underrated will be more of a topical thing. Most overrated wrestler. JK, you're up.
Most overrated? Oh, boy. I got a tie on this one, too, I guess.
Okay.
But I'm going to have to choose one here. I'm going to go with Sexy Star.
Okay.
Yeah, Sexy Star is the first women's major champion in a long time. She was the first women's Lucha Underground champion of all time. But
First
female Lucha Underground champ. Well, technically not because of Eva Lise winning the Trios title, but still. It turned out, you know, watching a lot of her tape that she was not as good of a worker as I thought she was. And she, of course, had that controversy at Triple Mania, I think it was, where she broke Rosemary's arm, which left a sour taste in so many people's arms. And I don't know if I should say unfortunately or fortunately, but she's been kind of blackballed from most any promoter spot on a card anymore. So she went from, like, the first major, like, women's champion in, like, Lucha, Ring of Honor, WWE, whatever, in a long time to basically just going to be an afterthought possibly in 2018.
All right, who's your – you said you had a tie?
I was going to say Alexa Bliss.
Really?
Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Here's the thing.
I totally disagree with you there.
Here's the thing.
I would have agreed with you in 2016.
She was in probably the worst feud aside from Jason Jordan, where she completely and utterly buried Bayley's character back in March and April. And yeah, she has decent mic skills and she's a decent worker, but I think it's more because of her fan base that she's kind of overrated to some. Like, she's not necessarily the best, but she's enough to be championship material. And I think some fans are misunderstanding being a champion with being the best overall women's wrestler.
Sorry, are you taking a selfie?
No. Okay, so my most overrated, I'm going to go two. I'm going to give you one on WWE and one outside of WWE. I'm going to give you in WWE, and you're shocked because you probably going to think I'm going to say Bray Wyatt, but since I talk Bray him all the time, I'm not going to talk about Bray Wyatt. I'm going to talk about somebody in Germany who's going to high-five me, Dean Ambrose. See? There you would. I think Dean Ambrose, honestly, I mean, with the Shield, it was great, but without the Shield, I'm not a fan. Now, here's the thing, though, and I don't want to, because the thing about it is now, and I haven't told you this yet, but I guess I'm telling you now, live on the air, is now I have a connection just happened that we're going to have Dean on the show here in the future, okay? So it's going to happen, and I'm going to say this because I'm going to tell him I don't like his character in person when I talk to him, because I want to be relevant and be real about it, because I think that he's better. He was better when he was Johnny Moxley. He was better when he first was Dean with the Shield. But what they've kooky thing they turned him into, I'm not a fan of. And to me, it's gotten worse in 2017. I just have. And I think it actually gotten worse after he did that feud with Brock Lesnar. It was pointless, that whole WrestleMania match, and it just ain't been the same since. Outside of WWE, I'm going to go with Alberto El Patron, because I think he's just terrible. I've never been a fan of him. I don't get it. I just don't think he's a great wrestler. I just don't. I think he's way overrated.
He is a perro.
Yeah, yeah. He is.
Yes.
So, all right, that's me. So,
all right, I'm kind of in the same book but a different chapter than you. My most overrated is definitely the Roman Empire, Roman Reigns. There's just something that's not clicking with him, and even bless his heart, he tries, and then whenever he does try, he just ends up making things worse for me. I think he's out of 10 stars, I think he's about a 5-star wrestler. I think there's guys that deserve that opportunity that aren't getting it, that are way better wrestlers. I just don't care for him, and I want to. I really do. I think he's got the look. I think he's got a decent enough move set that he could do big things, but he just can't talk and he doesn't really connect with me.
He doesn't connect, right. I get that. But see, I think he has a future.
But I love Dean Ambrose. I don't know what you're talking about. I love Dean. Shout out, Dean. I'm glad you're coming on the show in the future. I love Dean Ambrose. I know what you're talking about. You're such a hater.
Oh, man. No, so, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I think Roman has a future, and I think he's over, though. That's what's crazy. People love him still. Only time I like him is when he's with the Shield. And that's the only time I really like Dean, is when he's with the Shield. Actually, I liked him on Total Divas. I think outside of the ring, he's pretty funny.
Yeah, Dean's my guy. I've never, ever had an issue with him. Don't go back and listen to any of the other episodes, Dean, by the way, or you'll hear all kind of bad stuff said about you by Daniel, not me, though.
All right, so let's go ahead and do the most underrated wrestler. So, JK, who would you say is the most underrated?
Chad Gable.
Okay.
He's definitely got the greatest German suplex I've ever seen, better than Angle, better than Benoit. He's got an elite moveset, incredible athleticism, and I think he's his charisma is kind of underrated. He's kind of like, I don't want to say he's Kurt Angle necessarily, but he's kind of got that charm to him where he's an athlete, but hey, he can also be entertaining and cut a quality promo too.
Okay, Chad Gable. I guess I'm going next. Now, it's kind of weird because right now, as I'm saying this, you're probably thinking, "What are you talking about? He's top right now." But if you look at the whole 2017, he was very overlooked, and he's very underrated. And I think he's going to be one of the top stars of the future. And that's Elias Sampson, or just Elias. He can wrestle. He can talk. He can get the crowd to boo him when they're supposed. Even when they start cheering him.
Yeah, I'm not in love with him, but I don't hate him. I think he's
very underrated.
You know how we always talk about certain wrestlers and how we miss the old school days of heel tactic like wrestlers. He's got the perfect heel gimmick.
Yes,
I think he can grow on me. I'm not sold on him as a 5-star wrestler.
He has great matches though too.
Yeah, I think he can grow on me though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeremy, it's your turn.
Mine's Kevin Owens. I mean, I 1,000%.
Most underrated?
Yeah. What title does he
have? Was the Universal Champion. How's he underrated? Because, he was the longest reign, well, until Brock Lesnar. But
right, because I believe ever since he's went over to SmackDown, he's not been a priority for them. He's been secondary, and I feel like he deserves way more. So that's my whole reasoning. I feel like he's underrated at the moment. They've got him with Sami Zayn right now. He's fighting the establishment. It's not. I thought it would go over like the Stone Cold Steve Austin Vince stuff did, but it's really not. Nobody really cares.
Sami Zayn, by the way, is another overrated one for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not a fan of Sami Zayn. I don't believe it or not. Looking back, he's probably more overrated to me than Dean. I probably should have picked him and had Dean as honorable mention. Sami Zayn is very overrated. I don't get it, man. I'm just not a fan. Never really been. I don't care for his music. I don't care for his. I mean, I like his gimmick.
He's very hokey.
I like him being Kevin on his sidekick and like douche. I like that because then it makes me not look.
I disagree. I'm not a fan of him turning heel. I've said it before. I think he's trying way too hard to be over the top and just be unlikable.
I agree.
Well, yeah. I mean, apparently he's really kind of annoying like that in real life. So I don't know. They always say your best gimmicks are you yourself turned up to 11. So I mean, we'll see. I guess. All right. So why don't we kind of do a little different on this review at the end of the show before we go into our plugs and all that? How about we talk about 2018 and we'll do some bold predictions. Couple predictions. Each one of us pick three that we want to see. Something, it could be inside, outside of the ring. It could be champion, non-champ matches, gimmicks. Okay. Who have bold predictions.
I'm good on the fly, so I'm good to go.
Okay, I'm good on the fly too. This is literally on the fly. Probably I just not. Thought of it. So we'll each do one. We'll just do one at a time. We'll start with you, Jeremy.
TNA will close its doors.
Officially. Okay.
Not just change its name. It'll go out of business.
Go out of business. Okay. That's one bold prediction for Jeremy.
I've got one that's a three-step plan. How about that? John Cena will win the 2018 Royal Rumble. He'll challenge Brock Lesnar for the Universal title, and he'll win his 17th world title at WrestleMania and will retire on top.
Thank God.
Okay. That's a bold prediction. And I actually, yeah. I say Hulk Hogan comes back to the WWE.
That's not really bold.
And actually has another match.
That's not really bold. That's a weak one.
How's that weak?
Because he's already like tweeted out
another match.
Yeah.
Come on now. I can see coming back with another match.
I don't know if he has another match. Okay, that's bold.
I think Hogan will come back.
I think he'll be back, but he won't wrestle again. My second bold prediction. You want bold?
Yeah.
I think we'll see a women's wrestler hold a singles men's championship in 2018. U.S. or Intercontinental title. I think we'll see somebody step up, whether it be Nia or Charlotte, and win the United States or Intercontinental or maybe even tag team championship. I know I said singles, but I switch it.
All right.
I've got one. Johnny Gargano will not only win the NXT championship, he will also win either the Intercontinental or the U.S. championship within this year.
Okay. I like it. I can see it.
Okay. All right.
Stop playing footsie with me, JK.
We will have...
Fake news.
We will have a Universal Champion that is full-time.
I don't know if that's a bold prediction.
That's fake news if I've ever heard it.
No. Actually, my bold prediction is that WWE will bring back another pay-per-view slash gimmick from the past, similar to like WCW pay-per-view or an ECW one night only type of thing. Yeah.
I think for my final bold prediction, I think that Vince McMahon does not make it to the end of the year. No, I'm just kidding. That's
terrible. That would be terrible.
That's still a bold prediction. If that comes true, I want full credit. If it don't, I was just kidding anyway. My third bold prediction is that Kenny Bolin and Big Vito will make up.
Oh, dear.
I would love for that to happen, but
I don't think it's going to happen. That's the only one of mine that I don't think happens.
I'm going to go with the women's division for this one. Ruby Riott will win the SmackDown Women's Championship at some point this year.
Okay.
Ruby Riott will win this. Okay. Okay.
What's your last one?
I'm going to go with Paige having a long title run.
That joke was last year.
Paige having a long title run that would be kind of unstoppable.
I think that'd
be okay.
I think they need to move her to SmackDown for that to be doable, because Asuka's probably going to rule the roost for a while on Raw. But I think I think 2018 is going to be a year of ups and downs for Paige.
It's going to be ups this time.
Up,
down, down. I don't think she's going down at all.
Oh my God.
Her family movie's coming out. I think it's not going to do as well as everybody does. That's the down. That's what I'm talking about. I don't know what y'all perverts are talking about. Okay. Y'all nasty.
All right. Anyways. And bold prediction, 2018 is going to be another phenomenal year for us, the Ringside Podcast. And great things lie ahead. Interviews, as we've teased about here. Other awesome things. And maybe some big announcement that'll happen sometime in 2018. And also in 2018, I'm going to WrestleMania, baby. So I'm pretty excited about it. I don't know what these guys are doing, but I'm going. Ringside Podcast will be there, because I'll be there.
I'm
going
to be in Orlando for WrestleMania, so I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be at
Disney. You're going to be in Orlando. Yeah. It's not in Orlando.
Yeah, I know where it's at.
All right, anyways. So thanks for listening to the show. As always, you can catch us all on the rings. All right, thanks for listening to the show. And as always, you can catch us all on the podcast avenues like Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or just go to ringsidepodcast.com and check us out there, or even the TuneIn Radio app too as well. You can find us on social media on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook at Ringside Podcast. And on the Twitter individually, I'm at Daniel Spencer.
At Jeremy _CSC.
At KrugerMania.
Brother. All right. So, brother. All right, and so we appreciate it. Once again, go to CollarNumbleBrand.com, use the promo code Ringside, save 10%, and then you get a little kickback to the Ringside Podcast. You can also follow them on Twitter at CollarXElbro. And if you order anything from Collar and Elbow and you use the promo code Ringside, why don't you tag us and tag them and let us know what you ordered, and we might just retweet it and share it on the show. How about that?
Oh, we absolutely will. Yeah. And if you tag Collar and Elbow instead of Elbro, we'll give you 2 bonus points.
That's the Elbro. Yeah. I've been hanging around Vince Russo. All right, so thanks again for listening to the show. And as always, and in the meantime and in between time,
you can catch us ringside.
See ya.
Rhyme of strength. Ain't nobody man enough to feel the pain. And you could be next. You better give respect, 'cause ain't no